This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. Now, here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
Alrighty, welcome to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. Steve Ulscher hanging out with the lovely Mary Goulet. Hi, Mary Goulet.
Hello.
Richie O'Tay. What's up, Ray
Bruce? Good.
All right. And this should be pretty interesting as we bring Marilyn Suttle on to join us today. And actually, let's bring Marilyn right now. Marilyn, are you with us?
I'm with you.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Awesome.
As you're talking about the email, I'm just thinking about every time I'm on Facebook and that those pair of shoes I just looked at from another site show up over and over again until I
mm-hmm.
buy them.
Mm-hmm. That damn retargeting. Whoever came up with that?
Genius.
Genius. Actually, Rich, is there somebody that has a patent on that? Like, is that somebody's, like, trademarky kind of thingy?
It's a good question.
Right?
I don't know.
All right, so we were talking, Marilyn, I think you probably heard, a good chunk of this, but we were talking about Yahoo. And their little breach that they had that evidently took place back in early August, but they're just now breaking it out into the public eye to say, we may have, let's just say it was 500 million or so accounts that may have been hacked. So would you say they might have a customer service problem on their hands?
Yeah. And, one of the big things there people do is they hide it and wait too long. So people get so enraged. It's like it takes so much emotional maturity to just step up and say, this is what's happening. This is what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where so many people go wrong. They just wait too long.
But at what point, though, do you decide it's like worth addressing? Like what's kind of like that threshold, if you will? Like if it was just 100 million accounts, it probably would have been like, we don't really need to talk about it. 200 million, maybe we should have a board meeting. 300 million, we should probably do something. When it got up to 500 million, they were like, okay, now we have to say something. But at what point do you actually then, if you were advising them, what would you tell Yahoo at that point?
Yeah.
Like, at what point do they have to actually do something?
Well, they should have prepped for, anytime there's a crisis, you should have a plan ahead of time. And you don't know what it's going to be because it's always changing, but that service recovery is the biggest thing. And even if it's just 1,000 people, if it's going to get out on Twitter or on, social media, that can turn to 10,000 to 100,000 so fast that it's not so much the number as really coming up with a solid plan to show people. And people don't mind if you make mistakes, if you fix the mistakes and you make people feel safe afterward.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they will. It's a big problem right there. But you can, and people do it so well when they get this CEO on to do a YouTube video and tell them what's going on, keep them informed.
Mm-hmm. Which they probably didn't do, I don't think, at least not until they're... That's the thing. It's just like the politicians, until they're pushed, what's his name? Wiener sends one too many Wiener pictures, and this time to a 15-year-old girl. I think it was a 15-year-old girl. I mean, it's like, at what point do you basically step in and say, okay, I acknowledge that I did something wrong? At this point, they basically did it once they were called on it because the guy tried selling the stuff on the black market or dark web or whatever it's called there. But you think probably most companies aren't proactive enough when it comes to crisis, yeah?
No, yeah. I think that that's something they don't want to look at. They'll deal with it when they have to because people are busy. The realities are, in a perfect world, everything would be done, according to the book, and you'd have your plan in place. But people put things off that aren't happening right now. That's one of the big issues with customer service is, you could really let that slide for a long time and you don't see the effect until, all of a sudden nobody's coming through your doors.
Yeah,
it's not immediate.
Yeah, but these corporations are so huge. Like Wells Fargo's in the hot seat as well. They've got to have designated employees or a department that's handling PR and potential pitfalls. The CEO does something stupid or employees do. They've got to have something in place to...
Oh, yeah. And like Tesla, did you, you probably saw that big... to do with Tesla when they had the car, $150,000 for a car, and there was a customer complaining. He wrote a blog post about how he went to the free event to see his Tesla before it was ready and how there weren't good snacks and there was not good food and I had to wait 3 hours. He was being ridiculous on one perspective, and the Tesla CEO said, okay, no car for you.
Right.
He took his car away.
Yeah. Actually, Tesla has a bigger problem on their hands. I mean, forget about the snacks thing. That's certainly one thing, and Elon Musk can do whatever he wants. He said, no car for you. It's kind of like the, so he's the car Nazi. You ever see, Seinfeld with the soup Nazi? No soup for you. Elon Musk said, "No soup for no car for you." That's our hashtag from now on. Elon Musk is now the car Nazi. Okay, I like that. We're gonna bring that to the surface. See if we can get that trending.
Great.
Yeah, I know.
Have you heard about what's going on with Russia lately?
We may have a customer service issue that we need to address here, Mary Goulet. But it kind of brings up an interesting problem for Tesla, which is when you look at the bigger issue, which is somebody basically commandeered, Richie, you heard this, yeah? So somebody basically commandeered one of the cars on autopilot because they have this autopilot feature, which is hands-free, right? It's like an autonomous car at that point. It turns from being driver-controlled to being computer-controlled, satellite-controlled. I know you hate this, Mary Goulet.
I do.
You're like, ugh. But they had hacked in and from like 12 miles away took control of a car, I believe it was in China, and crashed the car because he just could. And so if you're Tesla, what do you tell them to do, Marilyn?
They aren't ready. They just aren't ready yet because that kind of thing. We're in a whole new world coming up here with the technology. It's going at such a fast rate. But if that can happen, they're not ready.
Insurance companies will be planting those things. The insurance companies are paying hackers to do this. Will be easy.
Is it the insurance companies or is it the body shops? Or is it the fuel companies altogether, right?
I mean, it's a full vertical. They own the whole thing.
They want it all.
Okay, so let's bring it down to real life. There are so many entrepreneurs online, service or product entrepreneurs, and it's so easy to post a negative review or cause havoc, write a blog about someone's service, and you're just a one or two, maybe five person shop. How do you get in front of that when you're intimidated by somebody who may be saying something that might be true or inflated?
Well, you know, there's this thing where people think they have to immediately jump in and say something immediately, and you want to be proactive about it, you know, responsive. But sometimes if it's an outrageous comment that somebody puts out there, if you just sit on your hands for a little bit, your community will come and support you. This happened with a guitar shop where, it was just a scathing, I mean, the Yelp got hit. This guy was so furious, he was just blazing the internet with how angry he was with this guitar shop because they were expecting him to pay for the damage done to their guitar because his 3-year-old son dropped it.
Well,
what's a 3-year-old doing with a guitar, like a $1,000 guitar?
Yeah.
And
that's just dumb parenting.
Bad parenting. But here's the thing. He was smart enough not to immediately jump in because, you know, you could go in there and get really indignant and angry and throw out some kind of comment like you should be watching your kids and blah, blah, blah. Well, his community was all over this guy.
Mm-hmm.
They were saying what you were just saying. Like, where were you?
He let them say it instead.
Yeah.
Let them say it.
That was smart.
At least, you know, you can't wait too long, but you need to wait long enough to let people come in and chime in and and see if, you know, you have if you're building a good community, if people love your business, they're going to help. They're going to speak up. But then when they don't, there's some really smart things you could do, especially with Yelp. I mean, and company owners don't know they can do it.
Yeah, and we'll
you can
talk
go
about.
In and you can do an anonymous response to the people who give you bad reviews. And I interviewed, you know, I spent a year and a half interviewing the best companies around the world for my first book, and one of them was a world-class spa. And so, of course, they're going to have competitors typing mean things in there. They'll have people just wanting to be vigilantes and just feel important by saying horrible things or whatever. But she always sends a private email saying, "I am so sorry this happened. I wish I had known. Can we make it up to you? Let me give you a free service and a secret shop up for us so you can rate the experience." People love to, who write these reviews, they love to rate things.
Yeah, for sure.
So over and over, they'll give them a 7-page review. And so they notice things they've never noticed before.
Mm-hmm.
And usually, well, she said every single time, they've on their own without being asked change the review.
Wow, that's a really interesting strategy. All right, we're talking to Marilyn Suttle today, and Marilyn, I don't think we did a matter of fact, we didn't do any job whatsoever of really introducing you. I know, who the heck are you? So, kind of give us the 30-second Marilyn Suttle. Who are you?
Okay, I run a training, personal and professional training company. I go international, doing global leadership training on customer experience, so that companies can really thrive and keep their businesses going regardless of what's happening in the economy.
Mm-hmm. And you've written, obviously, well, not obviously, but you've written a couple books, two or three books now, right?
Yep. I got, back in 2009, Amacom published my Who's Your Gladys with my co-author, Lori Jo Vest, and mm-hmm. that one hit the bestseller list and really just catapulted my speaking business, which was fantastic. And mm-hmm. that featured companies like Singapore Airlines. How come people pay 20% more for a ticket and they fill every seat? Mm-hmm. And, you know, Paul Reed Smith Guitars itself, the $40,000 Rockstar guitars, and different companies like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
really
very
cool.
Very good. All right, we're going to talk about some of those examples and other ways that you can really, really move the needle with the way that you treat your customers. Because there's some statistics out there about it costs you, what is it, 3 times or 10 times or 20 times more to get a new customer than to make an existing customer happy. What, do you know that stat off the top of your head?
Yeah, it's just like 9 times. And right now, 75% of the U.S. workforce is disengaged. So you've got that. Oh, actually, it moved down just June. In June, they retested, and people are like down to like 69% disengaged.
People are reengaged. Yay, that's a good thing.
They're reengaging a little bit.
Right. Well, I mean,
I almost think it's because of the political environment. There's just so much, all of a sudden, so much awareness. People are like waking up and getting upset and kind of noticing, like, sometimes it takes, you know, disruption to make something change.
All right, we're going to have to do this. We're going to take a quick break here on Reinvention Radios. We're talking to Marilyn Suttle of MarilynSuttle.com, and we'll be right back with more Reinvention Radio right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're at a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Ulcher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step by step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many get on the right path and be clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step for realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting TheReinventionWorkshop.com today. No more delays, no more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to TheReinventionWorkshop.com. That's TheReinventionWorkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulcher.
Welcome back to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. Man, I have some thoughts on the break that I think we'll be talking about here with Marilyn. But Marilyn, I know you've got this whole thing around this Gladys something or another. And Mary, you had a question about that, yeah?
Yeah, so couldn't you give us, like, the profile of your Gladys that you're addressing that we can get into context?
So everybody has a different Gladys. She's the one who demands more of you than you can quite handle yet. You know, she's so for one person, it might be the loud in your face complainer. For another person, it could be that cold person who just sees a cold fish and just really triggers that memory of your first grade teacher who was hitting you with a ruler. So everybody has their own trigger points. And so Gladys is the one that makes you become more. She's the one that makes you become more compassionate, more understanding, more skilled in order to serve her well. She's not Oscar. In our book, we talk about Oscar being the one you need to fire. You know, I remember my dad, he owned a neighborhood bar a block away from our house, and he had a guy come over drunk in the middle of the day, and, you know, he had to bar him out just so you can't come back. You know, there are certain ones you don't want to have coming back. So that's your Oscar. But Gladys, if you make her happy, she's the one who goes on social media, writes the blog with the good news, spreads the good news on Facebook.
So Gladys is sort of like this imaginary character that every business has to deal with, yeah?
Yeah. She's that archetype of the challenging customer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, I would say, I'm not sure Gladys would have been, I think Bertha. Like, if I had to choose, like, a woman's name, I think Bertha is probably...
I like Gladys.
You like Gladys?
Yeah, Gladys.
Gladys, like Gladys Kravitz, if you're old enough to remember Bewitched.
That's my nickname in my neighborhood.
They call you that? Is that a
Gladys
good thing?
It's a good thing because I catch people breaking into cars because I sit up so high. I know what's going on in the neighborhood.
Got you with the drone. He's hunting you down now.
Right?
That's the idea. Is they poke at things that other customers are too polite to tell you, but instead of telling you, they just leave.
I mean, let's be honest here. If everything was just sort of, you know, peaches and cream, you wouldn't really grow. I mean, because it's just like a relationship. You got to have a little conflict in the relationship. Like the couples that scare me are the couples that don't ever fight. Do you and Dave fight, like, ever? You don't, do you?
Well,
you do,
I'm very direct. So if there's something going on, I'm like, yeah, let me see if I can better understand you. Yeah. No.
Do you and Trish ever fight?
Yeah, we've had fights, but we grow from everyone.
Yeah.
The ones that scare me are the ones that it's like an earthquake. You know, you got to let a little bit out here and there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Before the huge, like, you know, magnitude 9.2 on the Richter or something.
What I like about that is everybody's talking about Avatar on the positive aspect, you know, who's your best perfect person you should be talking to, and you're kind of going the antithesis, saying almost like Jay Bear-esque, hug your haters, where it's like, look for your hater, solve the one that could turn into your biggest champion, and now you're really able to hit a home run.
Yeah, and you know, we're global now, and like, I do a lot with global teams, and so your Gladys might be from a different culture. And maybe, you know, if you're, like, when I have my German team, man, 5 minutes early is just on time, you know. But when I'm with my Mexican group, time is not the same culturally for them. And so
Mexico.
When you pull the two groups together,
yeah,
no wonder I love vacation.
That, you know, maybe you'd see that person as a Gladys, but if you would take a moment and let yourself listen, you know, we listen great when we're agreeing with each other, but when you don't agree,
yeah.
You know, so. Yeah. Being able to pay attention and grow.
Yeah. So Gladys is not every 10th customer. She's probably every, you know, 1 or 200.
Mm-hmm.
But she's the one that you look at and go, okay, how can we fine-tune our process? And expect her. Don't get nervous or, oh, no, here she comes, because she's the one that's going to fine-tune your business. And your part, mm-hmm. and you're speaking, and I look at your website, marilynsuttle.com, is how to address her, how to get in front of her.
Right. How do you diffuse the pressure that's, you know, one of the quickest ways, and people just don't do it, is when somebody comes at you and they're angry and they start telling you how angry they are, you know, we want to stop it and make them get better quickly, so we break in, we cut in, which only makes them angrier. But the last thing people think to do is thank them. And that's what I always tell them. The first thing you want to do when they stop talking is to say, thank you so much for telling me I couldn't fix this if you hadn't told me there was a problem.
Mm-hmm.
What else can you tell me about this? And then just really soothe yourself, like you're literally soothing all that going on in your chest and in your shoulders, you know, and calming yourself. And just telling yourself, you know, it's just sort of like when you turn on the shower in the morning and it's cold and prickly water. But if you let it run a little bit, it gets warm. And same with the person. If you let them vent and you tell yourself, this is good, let them vent, I'm hearing things I should probably need to know.
Okay, so what if you're falsely accused online? They've already posted it. What do you do about that? How do you...
Oh, that happens all the time. And, you know, so many brands will have a situation where somebody says, they stole my idea, and, you know, just goes rampant with it. And it's, you know, what you don't want to do is immediately take down what they're saying. So many small business owners will see that, get panicky, and delete it, which just creates a bigger problem on the other side, because then it pops up somewhere else that's saying, they deleted it, they're trying to censor this, they're hiding. You know, you don't want to do that. You want to just watch your languaging. And we do a whole thing about languaging, because how you show up in the world is through your language. So if you come across even a little bit defensive, they think you have something to defend, instead of saying, you know, the world is watching, so how you respond, think in terms of how do I want my potential customers and my loyal customers to see me as I handle this person who I'm very upset with right now.
And
that's going to just completely change the whole tone of your email. You know, just like they say, before you send an email to somebody who you're mad at, write it the way you want to write it, put it aside for a couple hours, and then come back and rewrite it completely. You really need to do that. It takes emotional intelligence, composure to get through it.
Yeah, whatever that scale is of like emotional intelligence, whatever like would be like at the bottom of that scale, that's my number right there. But it's interesting because ultimately, if you play it right, these people are doing you more good than harm, as opposed to the other way around. Because you read some of those reviews where people go into detail about like everything that was just completely fucked up with their experience and the set. And if you really like stop to read it,
like 80% of it was good.
Like 80% of it was true. My God, they're right.
If there's a 5-star, people don't trust it. Mm-hmm. If all you have is nothing but 5 stars, they think it's rigged because nobody's perfect, and people hate perfect people. They don't trust them. Mm-hmm. So it's the same with your online reviews. If you get 20% bad ones and you really read them, here's what I always tell people to do. When you see a bad review, a raving bad review, click on that reviewer, and it'll show their other reviews. Most likely they're all giving this person's giving ones to everybody.
Mm-hmm. But you could show them what you lovingly term as uncommon appreciation. So what would that actually look like?
Well, let's say it's a restaurant, and somebody says, well, actually, I just saw this because I just booked a baby shower for a relative, and I went on the review site first, and I saw, they said, oh, the shrimp was cold and this and that, and the response was, we're sorry about your experience. That is not the high degree of quality food that we are committed to providing. Could you send us, and then giving a phone number, could you call me directly? I want to hear more about your experience. Mm-hmm. So moving them from there to the phone, but anybody reading it would say, oh, they're going to give them a free meal. They're going to make it up to them. They really care about this. Everybody will forgive a mistake if you go above and beyond to fix it.
Mm-hmm. So moving them offline from being online is actually it's a pretty smart tactic. But what I was thinking about is like that whole sort of let people vent, let them do their thing, and then say thank you for that. I'm going to try that with the missus. I'm going to see how that goes.
You should be doing that all the time.
Just thank you for being, for tolerating me for almost 20 years. But I'm going to try that. She's going to be like going off, and I'm just going to stand there, and I'm going to do that little nod thing like she does to me when she wants me to go to the grocery store, those sort of things. We should really go to the grocery store. I'm like, yeah, we really should. She's nodding her head this whole time. But I'm going to do that. She's going to be like mad and like just going off about something, and I'm just going to nod, and I'm going to appreciate, and I'm going to acknowledge. And then she's just going to stop because eventually she'll run out. I mean, but let me ask you this. Do people ever, are there people who just don't run out?
There are people who pride themselves on not running out.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing to remember there is it's not personal. Mm-hmm. This person may have grown up in a situation and had life experiences that taught them that the only way they have any value is to be crabby and negative. Mm. And so for them to not do what they do would be unnatural. You can't put them in a self-esteem course. You have to look at the person through the eyes of everybody wants to know they matter. Everybody wants to have service with somebody who they think will care. Mm-hmm. And so if you can express, set aside, literally in your mind, set aside, this feels personal, but it's not. This is just what they're doing. Let me see how great I can be with this, And that doesn't mean that sometimes you have to say no, but there's a whole ton of different ways to say no that help engage people and get them off your trouble, less trouble for you.
So let's do this. We're going to have to take a break here on Reinvention Radio. And we're talking to Marilyn Suttle today of Marilyn Suttle, and that's Marilyn Suttle, not like you should be subtle with your approach to expressing yourself, but like subtle, like Suttle. So MarilynSuttle.com, and Marilyn's got a couple of really good books out, Who's Your Gladys? And then actually Taming Gladys is another one, Creating Fierce Customer Loyalty. So maybe after the break, what we can do is talk a little bit about some of those ways that you can say no effectively, and then let's also talk about some of the strategies that you teach about creating some of that, as you call it, fierce customer loyalty. All right, we'll be back with more Reinvention Radio. Maybe later today, Steve Ulcher right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Olscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step-by-step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays. No more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.
Looking to be a successful entrepreneur? The virtual assistant industry continues to be a top choice for those looking to start their own business. The problem can be how to become a virtual assistant. Many turn to the Bible of the VA industry, the book, Virtual Assistant, the Series, and it's the perfect guide for office managers, executive assistants, and other administrative professionals looking to make the transition from employee to successful business owner. Go to vatheseries.com to get your copy today.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Olscher.
Already back here on Reinvention Radio. Mary Lever from Steve Olscher hanging out with Marilyn Suttle. MarilynSuttle.com, talking about all sorts of interesting things around the customer, not the least of which is ways to say no. And I think at some point you actually have to say no. When do you know when to say no? Because I know, like, no doesn't always mean no, and sometimes no actually means yes, because that's what I teach my boys. I teach my boys that sometimes no really means yes, but sometimes... Why are you looking at me, Mary Goulet?
Do you really?
No, I'm kidding.
Well, oh, my gosh.
All right, but seriously, there are some customers who they may deserve to be cut off, but at the same token, that might actually be the worst thing that you could possibly do. So what are some of those ways to say no, and when should you actually say no to them?
There's when to say no and how to say it. So if you have a customer where it continuously ends up being win for them, lose for you over and over again, that's not going to work. That's a no. That's when you politely refer them to your competition. You know, they'll be much happier there. You say no when they try to sway you to do something unethical, when your best salespeople or service people want to quit rather than pick up the phone when the caller ID shows up. You know, those type of customers don't belong with you. But when you have to say no to a good customer, though, you know, here's the thing to know. When people want something from you, one of the biggest stressors they could have is loss of control. Loss of control makes people go crazy with their, you know, that's when they rant and go, you know, what, my pizza's not ready? BS. And they go absolutely ballistic in front of you, and you're thinking, what in the world are they doing? So to give them back some control, you want to give them a choice. You want to say, well, I wish we could do that for you. What we can do is deliver it on Thursday or Friday. We could deliver it by mail by next Tuesday, or we could have it forwarded overnight by Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
So you're giving you're saying no, but you're giving them an alternative.
Mm-hmm. So it's like the no and.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you don't even have to say no sometimes. You can just say, I wish I could do that for you. Here's what I can do.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, other times if they're just relentless, you could be like a broken record, you know, and yeah, I hear how much you want that. Wish we could do that.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to try that with my 9-year-old because he is relentless. Like, I swear, like that child, I mean, I love that boy, and it's going to pay off in like big ways for him when he's older, because like if he becomes like a salesman, Lord help the person who's trying to tell that boy no, because he is going to be like, when are you going to write the check? And so at some point it actually reverses where the customer actually has to tell the company no, and that becomes an interesting dynamic there, which we'll have to play out. All right, so let me ask you this now: in your, because you've been doing this for a very long time, give us an example of when someone really handled, from a corporate perspective, a company that really handled this whole sort of customer service or a crisis, like, exceptionally well?
Oh, well, you know, when you talk about crisis, I'm going to go back down to 9/11. When 9/11 happened, Singapore Airlines had a bunch of airplanes in the air, and they had to land them. I think that one plane ended up landing somewhere remote in Canada instead of in New York where it was supposed to land, and they had to stay there for a few days, and they had to sleep, and they had to rig up cots in a high school for these people overnight, and they had to, you know, tend to them getting food, and people were upset and scared, and, you know, talk about inconvenience.
Yeah.
And so, amazingly enough, they've got a strong culture, and, you know, everything happens when you have systems in place and consistency in place, and that sounds so boring and not sexy, but once you get that in place, you start really popping. The company starts really working well. And so they had systems in place to keep people, you know, be very transparent, keep people informed on things. And what ended up happening, because they treat the inside as well as they treat the inside staff, their families came out. The people who live in that area, their families came out to help tend to these customers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, they were just, they couldn't have been more helpful from a staff perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, they've had situations where it's Valentine's Day and it's icy and you can't take off to go see the person you're in love with or whatever. And, you know, they're generous. And, I mean, some of these airlines are not so generous. You know, you look at the stories you hear about, well, constantly about bad service. But they go above and beyond. And it doesn't hurt that they spend $10 million a year on wine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it's easier for a lot of companies just to kind of throw their hands up in the air and say, hey, you know, what were we supposed to do? Like, planes flew into buildings and we're being told it's, you know, no fly for the next 36 or 48 hours or whatever it is. It's not our problem. And so there are, I'm sure, airlines like Spirit Airlines comes to mind. And by the way, that has got to be the single worst name ever. For an airline. Do you want to really fly on a plane that were like they already are expecting you to die? Like, your spirit will rise after you fly on this airline. That's a really bad idea.
But Delta, didn't I mention this before? I read something in the newspaper about Delta Airlines was stuck on the tarmac for a flight.
Yeah.
And they ordered pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Smart.
Right.
It doesn't cost that much money. Like Domino's, you can get like 36 pizzas for like, what, $4 at Domino's now? So, I mean, it's not a huge investment.
And that's so important. It's the little things that show you care. It doesn't have to be expensive. It just has to show. Like with Wade earlier, when I got on the call before you guys started, he took a few extra minutes with me to make sure my sound was good and everything. And I'm just like, wow, you know, you got it together, Wade.
Nice. Way to go, Wade. Wade's just got, So speaking of common sense. Like, let me ask you this, because you would think, and I'm not trying to put you out of a job, because you need a job and you need to feed your family and have your company the whole nine, but isn't most of what you're talking about just sort of like common sense, though? I mean, don't most companies know this and they should just, like, why do they have to be trained in this?
Well, the same reason why we need to diet and exercise, but we don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
The same reason we need to save money and so we have a nice nest egg and people don't do it. Just because you know it doesn't mean you're going to do it. It takes something. It takes a shift inside. It's, you know, we talked about it earlier, that personal growth piece. And one of the best things that could happen from us from the 2008-2009 economy crashing and all those businesses going out of business is the only ones who remain are the ones who were willing to be relevant, who are willing to do that continuous improvement. Like everybody hears, first impressions matter most. Well, I'm sorry, but last impressions matter most. Because have you ever had a nice service, and then at the end, there's nobody saying goodbye to you, there's nobody, you know, it just kind of fizzles out, and you walk out like, well, I guess I don't matter anymore.
Yeah.
It's things that you don't think about that aren't expensive, but unless you have a system in place, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, awesome. All right, so last impressions matter most.
Ooh, I like
there's
that.
There's a hashtag we can start. All right. Well, Marilyn Settle, it's been an honor and a privilege to talk to you and to have you on the program here on Reinvention Radio. If you want more information about Marilyn, that would be Marilyn Settle. Again, that's Marilyn Settle, Suttle, MarilynSuttle.com. And you can check out her books, Who's Your Gladys? And then also Taming Gladys, Creating Fierce Customer Loyalty. Very cool stuff. See, we always learn something here on Reinvention Radio. And who says that Reinvention Radio is not an educational program?
But like she said, we just don't do it.
Well,
most of what we learn.
Well, and then there's that. Right, so for those of you who have been rating and subscribing and reviewing the podcast version of the show, we really appreciate that.
We certainly do.
And don't forget, we broadcast live every Thursday from 12 until 2 Pacific. That's 12 until 2 Pacific, which, by the way, what is BMT? Like, I know what BM is, but then I saw, like, BMT is a time zone, and I don't know what that is. And I've got a... Do you know what that is, Richie Rich? You have no idea. No. And you have no mic, so you can't speak anyway. So, oh, good. And if you want to join in the conversation, please do. You can join us live, again, 12 to 2 Pacific every Thursday. The phone number to dial in here is 866-977-2346. And that'll be extension number 2. Ooh, that's a new one. That used to be a different extension. Okay, now it's 866-977-2346, extension 2. So feel free to join us live. And we really do appreciate you guys. We will talk to you next time here on Reinvention Radio. Talk soon.
You just got dismantled. Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Olscher, visit reinventionradio.com.